Well, once again, we're here with our portion of the Grace Baptist Church's ministry referred to as Sunday School. I pretty much begin that way each week in case we have some new listeners, some new viewers, so that you'll know we have the preaching ministry of the pastor, and then we have this Bible study time, if you will, that again, we continue with the old-time title of Sunday School. Today, we want to talk about expectation. This is a very important message. It's meant so much to me. I've even made progress in my own personal life as a Christian, going through this study and applying the things that we'll talk about today. I pray that will be true for you as well. I have taught clearly and consistently that the hope spoken of in the Holy Scriptures is not the iffy, I hope so, we see used in everyday language, but is in fact a confident expectation. Hope in the Bible is a confident expectation. As Hebrews 6:19 says, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Today, I want to illustrate from the Bible how we can substitute the words expect and expectation for the words usually translated hope in both the Old and New Testaments. I'm sure that there's no harm done to the Word of God, to God's written Word, in making this change, the words expect and expectation for the word hope. I'm sure that will do no harm to God's Word, because the original language words I will use today are defined with the meaning of expectancy. Now, you can see that for yourselves, and I wish you'd do that once in a while, by looking at Strong's Concordance. I've been very careful in this matter. There are several other considerations that we need to speak of before we actually begin to deal with the Scriptures. How do we define the words expect and expectation? Please listen closely to this. It's at the heart of the message. To expect is to believe something will happen. An expectation is a belief something will happen. As believing is at the heart of expecting, so belief, faith, is at the heart of expectation. Now that should help you and I to understand the very close relationship between faith and hope, very closely aligned. The close relationship of faith and hope are absolutely necessary for being able to obey the following commandments made to the elect of God for our good and for our peace of mind. Now, before we look at those scriptures, which are actually commandments, I would say this to you because I say it to myself. I really need to apply this to my own heart and mind, because I'm going to admit I spend far too much time dwelling upon the anxiety and worry over situations that occur in my life. This leads to continual torment and unrest in my soul and my spirit. Now, we do want to look at those scriptures that address this problem directly. These are imperatives in the language. They are must-dos that need to be obeyed. Philippians 4, 6 begins this way. Be anxious for nothing. Your King James Version says be careful for nothing. If you look that word up in the Strong's Concordance, you see that it's talking about being anxious. Be anxious for nothing. In nothing, be anxious. Don't suffer anxiety. It's needless. Matthew 6:25 starts this way with the Lord Jesus himself teaching. Now, I know it says something different. It says, take no thought in your King James Version. I'm going to address that. Literally, it says, do not be anxious about your life. Don't worry about your life. Your life there means your actual being. Now, the King James does say there, take no thought. Look that up in Strong's Concordance. Please do that for me. You're going to see something very interesting. Strong's Concordance, in this particular scripture itself, shows no Greek reference for that translation. It cites the translation, but gives no Greek word because it is the same Greek word from Philippians 4, 6, translated careful, which means anxious. Now, I want to caution you about something, because I thought that take no thought may be even better. And I tried that repeatedly, long periods of time. Take no thought leads me to consider trying to forget. Now, maybe it doesn't bother you, so good. It's absolutely impossible, folks, to forget problems of a serious nature we encounter in this life. But we can face them. We can face them without anxiety, without worry, if we confidently expect God to deliver us through these difficulties. Now, that's where the truth lies. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God will deliver us through our difficulties? Do we have such a hope? Do we have such an expectation? Do you expect God to deliver you? The true Christian, in time, recognizes what Paul was saying to the Christians of Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Think of this being said to you. No one should be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. Now, moved by these afflictions. It's very important that you understand what the word moved means here. It means disturbed and disquieted. Don't be disturbed, don't be disquieted by afflictions. That is the essence of anxiety and worry, which rob us of our peace and lead us into torment. There is only one antidote, one balm for the malady of anxiety and worry, which lead to torment. And folks, if you remain anxious, if you are a worry wart, it's going to lead you into torment. I know what I'm talking about because I'm a prime example of it. God is helping me through that, and this message has been a great help. I want us to look to Psalm, in speaking of that one antidote, that one balm in this area of anxiety and worry. Psalm 71. This portion I'm reading to you is in a context of afflictions, of suffering, of tribulation. Listen to the text. In you, speaking to the Lord God, says the psalmist, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me. God, I'm crying out, please hear me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge. Be my rock of refuge, literally, to which I may resort continually. That's the Christian life, folks. We're continually in a warfare. We need to resort to our refuge, the Lord God, continually. Now listen to this next portion. You have given the commandment to save me. God gave Christ the commandment to save his people. For you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. And folks, all of that kind of activity is coming from the unseen world, the demonic world, where people are influenced to come after you. For you, says the psalmist to God, for you are my hope. For you are my hope, O Lord God. For you are my expectation, O Lord God, my trust from my youth. I looked up that word there, my trust from my youth. It means my select. You know, you've seen certain products in the world that are select products. That's the way they're referred to. Select here meaning the best and most valuable from all selections. That's God. The best and most valuable from all selections. The select God. By you, I have been upheld. I've been sustained from birth. You, O God, you are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. That is going to be true in the Christian's life because our warfare is a continual warfare. Now, I ask you as I ask myself. And I mean that. I've done that all week long. Do we confidently expect God to uphold us and deliver us each and every day and throughout those days. Do you believe that? If so, and I ask myself this question before I ask you, if so, if I do believe that, why do I behave sometimes as if I had no hope and was without God in this world? Shame, shame on me. Now, sticking with that psalm for a moment, looking at some other parts of it, I want us to take a special note of verse 3 and verse 5, the parts of those verses that say, "You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my hope, O Lord God, for you are my expectation." Now, folks, if God has commanded the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, to deliver you, to sustain you, that is what Christ is doing right now. Now, preacher, he died over 2,000 years ago. Wasn't that all finished? Well, the portion of him paying the price was absolutely finished, you bet. But Christ is saving you ongoingly, folks, and we can prove that from the Scripture. He lives forever to save you forever. As long as Christ lives, you are safe. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Listen. "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those perishing, but to those being saved to us, it is power of God." Our salvation, our deliverance is continuous. Or why would the Bible say in so many places that God is keeping us? Keep us, keep us. Whatever affliction, whatever tribulation, whatever befalls you as a Christian, God Himself has commanded that you be saved, delivered through that God-appointed time in your life. Remember, we were appointed to this tribulation, this affliction. God sends the hard time, and God delivers, God saves you through that time. Now I ask you, and remember, I'm asking me, do you have that hope? Do you have that expectation? Do you confidently expect God to deliver you? Do you believe that? I promise you, I've been asking myself that all week long. And I do so because why in the world am I anxious and worried and tormented a good part of the time? Recently, boy, God has poured it on me. Recently, after God had delivered me from problem after problem after problem, and I promise you, I thanked Him each and every time. But after that, I went on to dwell on my problems and did not trust in my hope, in my expectation. The Lord Jesus Christ. I did not trust as I should have the Lord Jesus Christ after having been delivered repeatedly. Oh, wretched man, I, this sin that still indwells me, I did not focus on expecting Christ to deliver me as I should. Yet, in the midst of my anxiety that was needless, in the midst of my worry that was needless, He delivered me as always, proving the scripture in 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Now, from that recent experience, I do believe I'm becoming more focused on expecting the Lord God to deliver me in my afflictions. He is my hope, my expectation. The Lord Jesus is the anchor of my soul, sure and steadfast. And God the Father has commanded Him to continue to save me in my distress. I can expect deliverance. I do believe that. And it's time for me to rest in Christ and to be anxious for nothing. It is time for me to stop worrying and expect Christ to guide me through this life and all its difficulties. Now, if you're a true Christian, you know about the Christian life and its difficulties. It is through many tribulations we will finally enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom God has prepared for us at the last day, when we see Christ and are made like Him, having no sin in us. Now, I realize the kingdom of God abides in us now. We would have no hope if that weren't true, if the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the King, was not in us, we wouldn't know what it meant, referring to the kingdom of God. But there is a final kingdom of God, a kingdom God has prepared for those who love Him. And we're going to be there with Christ for all eternity. I must focus on that and not be anxious and worry about present afflictions or those to come. They will come. I don't know what they will be. But I know this. I can expect to be saved every time. God has declared it. 1 Peter 5:7. Listen, dear Christian, apply it. Casting all, not part of it, not some of it, not a little of it, casting all your anxiety, King James says, care, means anxiety. Casting all your anxiety upon Him. Christ is built for it, folks. He's God. Casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares. He is concerned for you. You belong to Him. The Father has given you to Him. You are in His care. You can expect the Lord cares for you. Not only does He love you in that care, child of God, but He takes care of you. You can rest in that expectation. It is your hope. He takes care of you. In light of a life filled with many tribulations, let's consider two psalms and the truths we see in these psalms. Listen up. Listen closely. You can apply this in your own life. Psalm 50:15. The Lord God says, nothing can be more pointed than this. Call upon me, says God, in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. That's the Christian life. The day of trouble. God does deliver us on particular 24-hour periods of time. There's no doubt about that. But I believe the most real way to look at this verse here, the day of trouble, is the span of the Christian's entire life. The day of trouble. Now, where would I get an idea like that? Job 14:1. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Can't be more plain than that. But God, oh, it's a wonderful thing, those phrases we see in the Bible. But God has planned for this burden, and His people can confidently expect He will deliver according to His purpose. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord. The word Lord there is Jehovah. And I've told you before in particular contexts, this is Jehovah Jesus. Cast your burden on Jehovah Jesus. And He shall, not that He might, but He shall deliver, excuse me, sustain you. And He shall sustain you. That's very important. Listen up. And that verse ends. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Please listen closely. We'll break that down a bit. We can expect God to sustain us, to maintain us, to cause us to go the distance in this life. And this life is a lifelong struggle of spiritual warfare. God will sustain us, maintain us, cause us to go the distance. He will never allow His people to finally fall away. That's what the word moved means there. You will not finally fall away. You're being kept by God. Now, folks, Christians, we have this hope. We have this expectation. Wake up. Me, wake up. Now, I'm not going to finish this message before I give you a necessary warning. Though we are suffering needless anxiety and worry for not expecting God to deliver us, when He always will and does, do not assume God will allow sinful conduct. 1 Peter 4:15. Peter speaking to professed Christians. But let none of you, professed Christians, suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Note the word suffer. You don't need to put yourself through this, Christian. God will let certain behavior among professed believers to be accompanied with the suffering that He deems necessary. Do you realize how we would cause God to be blasphemed with the kind of behavior spoken of there? And this suffering that He may allow may not include comforting the anxiety and worry that comes along with the wrongdoing until proper repentance takes place. You may suffer a lot of anxiety and worry over that. Judgment begins at the house of God. I'm going to close now with a list of scripture passages substituting the word expectation for the word hope. When you hear me say expectation, it's originally translated in your scriptures as hope. Colossians 1:27. This is impactful, folks. Listen. Christ in you, the expectation of glory. That's what that is. Christ in you, the expectation of glory. You can expect to be glorified, Christian. The armor of God, as presented in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, not Ephesians, has for a helmet the expectation of salvation. Full and final salvation. The very first verse in the first letter to Timothy from Paul contains these words: the Lord Jesus Christ, our expectation. Now, the highlight of this message is the next verse I'm going to read you. Please listen to this. This is a wonderful literal translation of Hebrews 11:1. You know it well. It reads this way: now faith is the realization of things expected. Isn't that glorious? Now faith is the realization of things expected, evidence of things not being seen. I'm going to read the first three verses of the book of Titus. Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in expectation of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. You can expect eternal life. But has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. and committed to the God called men today as well, folks. The expectation there, eternal life. Hebrews 6:11, you could look it up, speaks of the full assurance of expectation. Folks, if you expect it, it shows a good, full assurance that you have. Do you and I have such a hope, such an expectation? Now, our final two scripture references, and we close. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Listen. He indeed, speaking of Christ, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, Christian, who through him, through Christ, believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and expectation are in God. You're familiar with this last verse. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, actually two verses. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this expectation in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we close with something, folks, that is this. An expectation, that expectation in him, leading to a call to our own personal holiness. And everyone who has this expectation in him purifies himself just as Christ is pure. An expectation leading to you and I being called to our own personal holiness. All true Christians have this expectation. Amen.